It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We circle around to a discussion now from earlier this year, people who make false claims of Native American heritage and the effects on tribal sovereignty. This, as the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation investigates the claim to Indigenous ancestry by Buffy St. Marie, an Oscar-winning singer-songwriter. You can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234 to talk. That's 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jean Taye is a Vancouver, Canada-based attorney, author of Métis Law in Canada, and past office holder for the Indigenous Bar Association of Canada. Jean, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Happy to be here, Kate.
So as we look more closely at the situation, Buffy St. Marie's music career, starting in the early 60s in the folk music scene, her contemporaries, Bob Dylan, Leonard Cohen, Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, one song on her first album in 1964, it's called Now That the Buffalo's Gone, and describing the mistreatment of Native Americans.
Can you remember the times that you have held your head high, told all your friends of your Indian claim, proud good lady and proud good man, some great great grandfather from Indian blood sprang, and you feel in your heart for these ones.
So Jean, what evidence is raising questions about her claims to Indigenous ancestry?
Well, believe it or not, it all started with Canadian Public Radio that did a big show last year celebrating Buffy. And as a result of watching that show, one of her big fans in the United States, Jacqueline Keeler, who is heavily into investigating Indigenous claims to identity that she thinks are fraud, she watched the show. And to her great dismay, one of the people she's loved, musicians she's loved most of her life, she started listening to Buffy's story and thinking, this is crazy. This is just like all the other claims I'm listening to that are fake. And so she started digging afterwards, and it didn't take her very long to discover that a lot of the things that Buffy said weren't true. She tried to raise the issue with someone who had done a documentary in Canada, Drew Hayden Taylor, and he said he wasn't interested in pursuing it. So she took it to a reporter at the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, our public radio, and he took up the investigation. They investigated for months, and the story hit the news in October with a loud bang that was heard all through Canada for sure, and certainly through the United States, although perhaps not as much as people think it would, because I think there's been quite a, she's in her 80s now, so the younger generations are generally not as familiar with her as people who are from the 60s.
Jean, there's a tracking down of a birth certificate that indicates she was born in 1941 in Massachusetts to white parents. And Buffy St. Marie says she doesn't know whether her birth certificate is real. What is your reaction to that on the issue of the birth certificate?
Well, I think that, first of all, the evidence that the CBC uncovered was that it actually is a legitimate, authentic birth certificate. Now, the reason Buffy seems to have got away for a long time with questioning its authenticity is because of the people, a lot of Indigenous people who were adopted out. So even now, when you're adopted, it's very, very common to have your original birth certificate completely changed with the new parents' names and that information and the new name they give you. But this birth certificate is different. When you're adopted, in especially in states or provinces in Canada where adoption records are sealed or private, they don't want you to be able to track down the original parents. So it wouldn't have the parents' names on it. It wouldn't have the doctor's name on it. It wouldn't have the hospital's name on it. It would just have the new name and and the new parent's name. So this original birth certificate in Massachusetts has all that information, which hospital, what time, her parent's name, her doctor's name, all of that kind of stuff. And you can understand why they wouldn't put that information in, so you can't track them down through that. So they're protecting the birth mother. Hmm. And so this birth certificate, if she had been adopted, also wouldn't be in the numeric order. So they're filed in Massachusetts records in the exact order of the births. So the birth, you know, just like an hour before is the mm-hmm. number, birth certificate before that, the birth an hour after is after that. So if Buffy was really adopted, that birth certificate would not exist, and another one would have been put in its place when she was adopted. And since she probably wasn't adopted on the actual day she was born, if she was adopted, that birth certificate would have been removed, and a new one without the doctor's name, without the information.
Identifying information.
Exactly. Yeah. That would have been replaced, right? At the some other later time. So that's pretty conclusive evidence that that birth certificate is real. The other thing is that all of her family dispute this. Buffy is virtually the only one in her own family who says it's her brother disputes it. Her uncle went to the newspapers in the 60s thinking that this claim about her being Indigenous was all made up by her press company. Hmm. And there's things from the 60s and 70s where people, even her own son is posting right now saying it's not true.
Jean Taye is with us, attorney, author of a report on Indigenous identity fraud for the University of Saskatchewan. You can join in questions and comments along the way at 800-642-1234. Jean, stepping back for a moment, Buffy St. Marie claiming she has been accepted as a family member of the Paiapat First Nation in Saskatchewan, where she said she was born a Cree Indian. How is tribal affiliation different from tribal ancestry?
Well, that's a good question, Kate. And the fact is that most Indigenous peoples have some form of customary adoption into families. So there is a family on the Paiapat Reserve in Saskatchewan, Canada, that Buffy has been adopted into the family. Mm-hmm. And that is a very real thing. But this didn't happen, I think, until the 70s or 60s, 1970s. So when she's already like 30 or 40 years old. So this is a very serious family obligation. It's a wonderful ceremony. People are brought in as a member of the family. So it means like you're a sister or an auntie or a cousin, and these are your family obligations for the rest of your life. So very serious and lovely relationship, but it doesn't magically make her into an Indigenous woman or into a Cree woman. It makes her the same white woman she was, who now has this other family that she gets to, a chosen family that she gets to have a wonderful relationship with. But there's no, you know, fairy godmother who comes along with a wand and bing, changes your race or your ancestral facts of your life. So Buffy has tried to transmit that into saying that she's Indigenous, and it isn't. It's a lovely relationship and nothing more.
So Buffy St. Marie, credited as the first Indigenous artist to win an Academy Award, she's garnered numerous other awards. Should she be stripped of those awards?
Well, those are questions that I think that the award giving
bodies,
groups have to seriously look at. You know, in Canada, she's got a Juno, but Junos are supposed to be given out to Canadians. Hmm. And there's absolutely no evidence that Buffy's a Canadian. She even has an Order of Canada, which is one of the highest orders, that awards that our Canadian government gives out. And that's supposed to be for Canadians, too. And I also think it's quite interesting that the two Indigenous people associated with the early Academy Awards, the woman who accepted the award for Marlon Brando and Buffy, both turn out to be fakes. So it's, you know, I think some of this is from the 1960s stuff about, you know, you can be whoever you want to be, and you, you know, everybody falling in love with Indigenous people, except, or at least the myth of Indigenous people, the parts of it that they want to believe in. And so Buffy found a way to make herself stand out from the other folk artists of her day by changing her identity from basically, I think it's Italian background to Indigenous.
In our last 30 seconds or so, when I heard the news from the CBC, I just wondered, why does this keep happening? Why is this going on? What is behind racial shifting now? And I just wonder, do you have any thoughts there?
It's been going on for hundreds of years. And since white people arrived in the United States and Canada, and they do it for one reason, personal gain. They get fame out of it. They get money. They get opportunities. And that's the only reason that they do it. It's fraud by every definition, which is intentional deception for personal gain. And that's what it's all about. And that's what Buffy did with it. And that's what they all do.
Jean, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome, Kate.
Jean Taye is a Vancouver, Canada-based attorney and past office holder for the Indigenous Bar Association of Canada. She's the author of a report on Indigenous identity fraud for the University of Saskatchewan. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.